Hey guys, Tim here, and I'm going to tell you how you can get all of my training programs for free. That's right, it's part of our new 12-month coaching program called Springboard, and it's designed to help gym owners who are stuck between $8,000 and $25,000 a month grow to $30,000 in stable recurring revenue. To see how Springboard can help your gym and to see which one of my training programs you get for free, visit gymownercoach.com. That's right, gymownercoach.com for more information. Now let's get into the show.
Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Business Coach Podcast. I'm your host today, Randy Engston, joined with Zach Columbia.
Look at us,
brother.
Look where we're at.
Yeah.
Didn't all the country western movie guys get cancer because they were like doing nuclear tests in Monument Valley?
Did not hear that.
Like
one.
I think that's like a thing. They all got like, you know,
low level radio action.
Because they were filming all their movies here. Anyway, all right. Well, luckily it's an AI background and I don't think we're at risk.
No, so. Direct exposure. Yeah. Today, guys, we're going to be diving into a component of the hiring process. We work with a lot of gym owners through our Springboard program who are constantly looking to add a coach, add somebody to their team. And the topic that we have for today is something that you've implemented here at Legacy that's kind of helped. Well, I'll let you break down, but my understanding, it kind of helps kind of sift through the candidacy, you know, from somebody who might seem like the perfect fit, but then it's almost like one more layer of insulation to make sure that you got the right person in front of you.
Yeah, so I call this the you're hired illusion.
Ooh.
And essentially the idea is that when somebody is interviewing, they're on their best behavior.
Sure.
You know, they're probably putting on, they're putting on their best, you know, their best foot forward, the little bit of a front. If they're intelligent, which sometimes is shocking, actually, like how honest kids are these days in interviews. And I'm like, just lie to me. Just lie to me. Be smart enough to lie to me. But the other side of that is like you get the person that is just they're interviewing. So they're checking all the boxes and they're interviewing really well and they understand the interview process. But you want to make sure that that person is the person that shows up for the job.
Good call.
Which is not always the case.
Yep.
So I've had a number of instances that kind of led to this. One guy, we were interviewing this he was a musician for a front desk position. This is one of like early days when I was a director. This was my first year of being a director. And I interviewed this guy and he interviewed so well. And I remember bringing Erin, Tim's wife, in because she was like HR.
HR, yeah.
all of our hiring stuff. And I was like, you got to come in for the second interview because there's something about this guy. Like, I just don't.
Can't get a good read on or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, he interviewed so well. And like, I don't see any reason why not to hire him based off of what he said. But like, I need an extra person here. So we had him come back for a second interview. And she was like, yeah, I see what you mean. He may just be really good at interviewing. And he was a musician. He was a performer. So it was like, is he just performing right now? And we didn't end up hiring the guy because of that. And I was like, I don't feel like that's him, you
sure.
know? Then I flash forward a couple of years. I interviewed this guy who for a coaching position and this guy interviewed so well. He checked all the boxes, sent me a thank you card after follow-up email, came in dressed well, did three interviews. We hired him and I had to fire him on his third day. Ended up being a disaster, right? And then the one that led to the really to like the breakthrough, guys, I've interviewed and hired so many people over the years, crazy. But the one that really led to it was this candidate came in and interviewed and he did two interviews. He did a in-person and he did a practical. So he took the coaching staff through a workout. And during that process, when he came in for his practical, we had just offered somebody else the position, but we had already started the interview process with this guy. So we continued to follow through and it just happened to be that we found somebody that was could come on board and was a really good fit. So we hired her and I had to have a conversation with this guy and say, hey man, like you are a phenomenal coach. You would be a great fit here. Unfortunately, like, we just don't have the position open now. We went ahead and already hired somebody. What I would love to do is, like, keep you on my list, my short list of people to call. You'd be at the top of the list,
sure.
Of people to call as soon as we do have an opening. Like, is that okay with you? You know? And he's like, oh, absolutely. Like, that would be great. So this guy, you know, he dressed really professionally. He followed up, he went through and was just phenomenal. For those two interviews, the whole process. Well, flash forward maybe 2 months later and we had an opening for a coach. So I reach out to this guy and I say, hey man, like, we just had an opening. Would love to have you come in, chat about the position. Slow to follow up with me. Wasn't giving me like straight answers. Finally got to a point where he like moved a phone call. We were supposed to have a phone call. He like asked to reschedule it last minute. Like, all of these kind of red flags start popping up. And then I was getting really frustrated. And I was like, hey man, you need to come in for in person. Like, let's just have you come in and we'll sit down and we'll talk about this position. Well, he calls me like 10 minutes before we're scheduled to meet. And he's like, text me. Hey, I'm stuck in traffic. I'm not going to be there for another like 30 minutes. So I'm like,
already eat. Yeah. One more thing.
This,
yeah.
One more thing at this. And this guy interviewed so well. So I'm trying to give him the benefit of that. I called him immediately. I was like, what's going on, dude? He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I left in time, but like, there's an accident on the freeway. I'm like, okay. All right. So the dude shows up in basketball shorts and like a t-shirt, hat, sunglasses, totally different where he showed up in like dress pants for the interview and collared shirt and like all these things. He's 30 minutes late. And I was just like, hey dude, you really blew this. Like, there's really nothing for us to talk about at this point. Like, look at all these things that have transpired. So all of those stories to tell you that what I realized through all of that is, when somebody believes that they have the job, they'll let their guard down.
Sure.
And you'll get to see the candidate that you'll get to see the coach that you're hiring or the employee that you're hiring, not the candidate that you're interviewing. Because that last guy believed that he had the job in the bag based off of previous experience. So he can just like do whatever he wants. Well, that's the employee that you're going to get. It's not the one that's putting on the front.
All right, before we jump back into the episode, a quick note for the gym owners listening right now. If you're the kind of owner that is always pushing for the next level, you should know about the Growth Summit. Every year, we bring together some of the most driven gym owners in the industry for 3 days. This year, it's in Scottsdale. No fluff, no bullshit, just serious operators talking about what it really takes to build a gym that works as a business. Several thousand gym owners from all over the world so far have attended. So if you want to be in the room with people who refuse to settle for average, head on over to fitprogrowsummit.com and grab your ticket now, June 25th through 27th in Scottsdale. All right, let's get back to the show. If you're a gym owner dedicated to delivering a better training experience than your competitors, then you already know that one of the biggest bottlenecks in your business is programming. Most gym owners are either doing it themselves or paying a team a small fortune just to keep up. That's why I want to tell you about our sponsor, Semi-Private Pro, a platform that we built out of necessity in our own gym after realizing how much time and money we were just wasting to stay on top of programming. Let me give you a couple real-world examples. Ayn Toppin, she was spending 3 hours a day on programming. After switching to Semi-Private Pro, that dropped to zero, with zero drop in quality. Scott Wilson out of Kentucky, he's paying his team 15 hours a week for programming. Now they handle it in 15 minutes, and it's actually better than before. And Elizabeth Rogers, she reclaimed her Sundays. No more weekends behind a laptop writing workouts, and her coaches are now more aligned and consistent than ever. Guys, that is what Semi-Private Pro does. It gives you a master programming system your coaches can easily follow and adjust in real time. And here's the best part. This isn't some cookie-cutter, one-size-fits-all template. Thanks to Semi-Private Pro's trademark movement matrix, every client workout is customized to their goals and movement quality. So it's not just faster, it's actually more individualized, more professional, and completely scalable. So if you're tired of spending your weekends writing workouts or worse, paying your team to do it, head on over to semiprivatepro.com to learn more. That's semiprivatepro.com and reclaim your time and level up your training.
During the interview process. And so what I did is, number one, I basically changed kind of the tone from the beginning of the interview process to be like, your resume looks awesome. We wanted to talk to you because, like, you've got the background that we look for here. Everything is positive, essentially. It's not me grilling them. It's not me, you know, digging in and being like, let me see what answer they give me for that. Now, obviously, I ask them, you know, questions that I need answers to, but it's all like very agreeable. And then we do a three interview process. So that after they do a like their second interview, the third interview, we basically make it sound like they got the job. We just need to meet with them to go over details of it. Now, we don't offer them a position. There's nothing like that, but it's like, we feel like you'd be a great fit here. The interview process has gone really, really well. We would love to get together and kind of talk about, you know, final details on what that would look like to work here. So in their mind, they believe that they're hired. Okay. They believe that they got the job. However, we're still assessing how they show up from there. And what that process looks like. Are they on time? Do they does their behavior match that same behavior as their first interview and their second interview, or has it changed?
Yeah, there you go.
So that's really the you're hired illusion. And it's paid off because we now have, I'm not firing somebody on the third day.
Yeah.
Right. We're finding inconsistencies in candidates' behavior, and we're going, that's the person that's going to show up. Even if the inconsistencies aren't like major red flags, any inconsistency is a red flag.
I was going to say that's kind of what you're looking for is consistency, right? Yes. Is the congruence between the person who shows up day one and the person who's going to essentially be taking the floor to do the job at hand.
Yep.
And you know, and they're for a million different reasons. Obviously, you know, somebody looking for a job is probably in a position where they're hungry and they're looking for, they're going to put their best foot forward, right?
Yep.
But if that doesn't maintain, like, that's the whole reason that you've built this in, is to kind of filter and weed out some of that, you know, component. So great lesson. I think that every gym could build this into their hiring process. And maybe it's, you know, one more interview. But you got to frame it that way, right? Like you said, it's not a way where, you know, you've committed to them that they have the position.
Yeah.
It's just leading them down the path of saying, hey, you know, you would be a great fit. We do believe you are a great candidate. We got to get some details, you know, ironed out before we make the next step.
Yeah. And that third interview, let's say they come in and it's, their behavior all matches. It's talking about, you know, their schedule and their potential start date and, you know, potential pay and benefits and those types of things. So hopefully that's the case and they do show up consistently and it matches their behavior and you go, okay, now I know, like, now I know that this is the candidate that I'm getting. That's the ideal scenario, but that's really in my, there's three different types of candidates. You've got the oversharer, which is the one I kind of alluded to earlier, where it's like, just lie to me. Just be smart enough to lie to me, or not lie to me, but
don't,
like,
tell me all the details, you know?
Yeah, don't give me all the details because that's an indication of your emotional intelligence. And I'm looking for somebody with high emotional intelligence.
Good point. Very good
point. So you do run into that more with younger kids, younger coaches. It's like, they're just like brutally honest. And I'm like, be smart enough to not tell me that. But you have to think, like, if you did hire that person, then they're going to be honest with your clients and they're going to come in and they'll be like, I got so drunk this weekend. And it's like, no, that you're be the example, right? And if you're not going to be the example, then don't tell the clients about it.
You don't need to share the information.
Yeah. The behavior that's going to translate over into their position. So, you know, that kind of disqualifies that candidate. The second candidate is the front person who's just interviews well, they get the game and you're going to bring them on and then they're going to be a nightmare once they have the job.
Sure.
And we've had a couple of those and you learn from them and you go, I'm not going to make that mistake. And that's where
you get fired on day three
comes in. And then that third person is like truly interviews well, is consistent and is genuine. And so you got the person that like, they don't have to be perfect. They don't have to interview perfect. Interviewing perfect is almost a red flag.
I would agree.
It's the person that is professional, but not perfect. That indicates like, okay, that's a genuine human being there. And there's no, you know, front that they're putting on. And that's the person I want to hire.
There you go.
So
nice. Well, take this lesson. See if you have to make a change in your hiring process. Obviously, I mean, statistically, we know a few things in this industry right now. Coaches come and go in the industry on average about 12 months. That was the last of the reports we heard. So this is probably pretty relevant. I mean, even if you've got a team of coaches or staff, at some point, somebody's going to leave for whatever reason, right? Life happens. They move. You know, can't keep everybody forever type of thing. So make sure that you're building the systems. You're really great at saying it, right? You want to dig the well before you're thirsty type of thing. One other thing to add there, too, is like build the roster. I mean, you talked about putting that one candidate's file on top. You know, if you're in a position to then have to replace somebody, you don't want to act out of desperation and have to draw somebody in last minute just to cover the shift and the positions. If you build all of these systems in place, you're building kind of like insulation. You're building obviously we're heavy on systems, but systems allow you to not grasp at straws, not act out of desperation, not, make that hire that's probably not the right person for the business simply because you're desperate. So take those lessons, implement those into your business today, and hopefully, you know, you can continue to build a team that can lead everyone forward in your organization. That's all we've got for today's episode. Again, if you haven't locked in your tickets for the Grow Summit, it's coming up quick, fitprogrowsummit.com. But that's all we have for you today. Keep changing lives. We'll see you in the next episode.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to go deeper on this stuff, head on over to our YouTube channel. The podcast right here is where we have the conversations, but on the YouTube, we break down things much more in depth. We walk through real frameworks, real strategies, and systems that gym owners are using right now to build better businesses. Just search Gym Business Coach on YouTube or head on over to youtube.com/@TheGymBusinessCoach.com. Subscribe to the channel and I will see you over there.